Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Slater. As always, I've got Dan Kinnis with me. Dan, thanks for being here.
Of course. Good to be here.
It is a lovely day. It's been very rainy. I'm loving how wet this June has been. It's peak weather for me. I don't know. It doesn't get better than this, honestly.
You're going to look forward to tomorrow, then, because we get the remnants of that hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up this way and soaking us, it looks like.
It's going to be a great time. I'm so excited. I do have some trivia for you, Dan. And we're going to talk a little bit, obviously, about snakes. I hate snakes. I am like Indiana Jones. I had this whole experience where I was learning how to scuba dive. And my dive partner had a cold, so they took forever coming down. So, you know, I go in, go down, and I'm just waiting for my buddy to come. And while I'm waiting, this coral snake swims out of the reef and just is existing near me. Now, I can't go down because I'm already at the bottom of the ocean. I can't go to my left or right because it's cloudy. I can't go up because I'll get the bends. I'm really just down there alone with this snake waiting for someone to come with me. And ever since that moment, I've absolutely hated snakes. So I resonated with that call out there.
That wouldn't be a favorite spot of mine either. So
it wasn't great. And so actually, when I came to college, I was like, okay, I've got to find out what snakes are. It was so funny because I was leaving Africa and coming to America. And I'm like, I got to look up these dangerous American snakes. Yeah. Like, and so I found out a little bit about Michigan snakes. So I was wondering if you know how many different species of poisonous snakes live in Michigan.
Well, I really don't know, but I don't know, five?
So it is one. There is only one species, which to me was such a relief.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have to worry about this. I don't, you know, there's just one. It's the Mississauga rattlesnake. It's about 2 feet long.
Okay.
And that's all we have to worry about. And
Better than Arizona.
Oh, it feels so, I'm like, I'm not checking my shoes every time. It's great. And so, you know, I could be convinced. There's an argument I would hear. It's like, you know, the Garden of Eden was really like Michigan because there's only one snake there.
Yeah, just one to look out for.
There's just one thing.
People from Michigan would, I think, agree, you know, close to the Garden of Eden.
Right, as close as we can get, anyways. All right, so to dive into the real stuff now, Dan, can you give us a refresher course on this last sermon?
Yeah, of course. There's a reason we went to snake trivia, because that was our animal, as it were, for this week. We were in Exodus chapter 7, and this confrontation, Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh and his magicians, and God had told Moses and Aaron, here's what you're going to do, throw down your staff, and it's going to become a snake. This will be a sign to Pharaoh and the people too. And so we just talked about that, you know, the interesting why this sign and some of the connections, just like we talked about, the people then too had kind of a relationship with snakes and what they thought of them, and it was an ominous kind of thing. And but then the big part that we'll talk about too is how the magicians were able to duplicate this trick, but then Aaron's staff or snake then swallowed up all of theirs, which was not something that God had said anything about or was in the kind of plan of attack there, and nevertheless was the most powerful moment. We really, I think, honed in on that image and the word, you know, that the snake swallowed the other ones, and how that theme runs through Scripture, and seeing that thread all the way to how the Lord conquers death on behalf of his people. So, yeah, another interesting story, and at least a lot of imagination, and it's good for us. So.
Well, and these are the stories that, you know, a lot of us learned as kids.
For sure.
And we learned them alongside other fairy tale type stories. This is like the Christian mythology people grow up with.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those stories that is always fun to revisit, because you always get something new from it.
Yeah.
Every time. Was there anything in this section of text that you thought about including but didn't, or a direction you thought about going but didn't go?
Yeah, so we only looked at a few verses, but there's obviously a lot of verses around this. There's, you know, the story's kind of ongoing. So, you know, you think, like, how much do I tie in with what's already happened? You know, some of Moses' backstory being raised in the Egyptian court, Pharaoh's court, essentially, right now coming back, and they're opposing each other, and the call at the burning bush. And we just touched on that briefly, but it's all kind of interrelated. And even the first, you know, when Moses comes back to the Israelites, and I'm going to be your leader, and there's a lot of skepticism. And of course, right after is all the plagues, ten plagues, the very famous section of Scripture there. So that's kind of sandwiched right in between more familiar stories. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, I thought if I go there, it might become about that.
Right.
But you can't help but bring some of that in. It's all the story together. So in the verses itself, I think I hit on most of what I wanted to, because it was only five or six. You could really kind of
That's the nice thing about having these smaller segments is that, you know, it's just we're going to just dive into this section.
Yeah, for sure.
Or like the last series was, you know, it was all 8 weeks or so was one section. Right, that was really convenient.
You can really zoom in. Yeah.
Oh, man. I love that one moment. I don't really have a question with this. I just want to acknowledge this moment where, you know, God has Aaron's staff literally eat the staffs of the other magicians. That is such a power move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's so much to that. We obviously spent a lot of time on Sunday talking about this. I'm just like, what a way to remind Pharaoh that he is not a god. And right, and that was part of the thing is Pharaoh thought he was a god. He was the son of Ra.
Sure.
And he has his magicians who can do all this magic. And even though they can do all this magic or whatever it was,
yeah,
still nothing in comparison. And that was that's like a cinematic moment. You would expect to see that in a movie. Like,
very dramatic.
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, I mean, we don't often think this way, but, you know, God having a little fun, too. You know, like just.
Absolutely.
Yeah, watch this, you know, because, again, he didn't say beforehand, yeah, you know, the magicians are going to do it, but then I'm going to do this. He just kind of let Moses and Aaron also kind of enjoy the moment. I can imagine their reactions like, whoa, now that was cool. Like, you know, got to pay attention to that. And of course, Pharaoh, part of it, I think, is we can almost feel bad for Pharaoh because as the text goes along, we're told that he hardens his heart, but also God does. And it's like, well, is it all Pharaoh's fault? But when you see this right at the beginning, you know he's choosing to be stubborn. Mm-hmm. And God just comes along kind of midway through and says, I'm going to let you keep being stubborn at this point. And because it is remarkable when you think about it, if you watch that happen, what could you say? Well, that didn't work out well for us, you know. But Pharaoh chose still, like, nope, not going to see it. And
not going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just crazy. It is interesting the way snakes show up in the Old Testament. And I'd love to, and obviously this is out of the passage that we talked about for a large portion of this. But I just love to ask about snakes in that culture, because also in the Old Testament, we really see there's three snake stories that come to mind immediately for me anyways. Mm-hmm. There's the Garden of Eden, where, you know, the devil shows up as a snake, all of that. There's this story. Mm-hmm. And then there is the story in, I want to say it's Numbers 21 or something like
that's
that,
right.
Where the Israelites are camping and they get attacked by this horde of venomous snakes. And God commands Moses, hey, build this one, like, bronze serpent, stick it up in the sky. Everyone who looks on it will get cured of their poison.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to talk, I guess, a little bit about that, because those are some interesting stories to have as, like, this is what snakes show up as in the Old Testament. And then it's also interesting because there is, in all three of these stories, a quote-unquote good and bad snake.
Right.
You know, so there's pre-temptation, there's the good snake. That snake was in the garden. Yeah, the devil showed up there, but this was pre-fall. Then there was, with these ones, there's the bad snakes that were the snakes of the magicians.
Right.
And then God takes Aaron's snake and is superior with that. And then when you talk this one in Numbers, there's all these bad snakes that are, you know, doing it. And then God's like, here's this bronze goods. Is there anything to that? It's just a thread I've noticed.
Well, I think in general, and it is powerful. I think we see these threads. We talked about the whole, you know, I'll swallow up, you know, the serpent here. I'll swallow up death. But this is a thread too, this image of the serpent or the snake or the monster of the sea kind of, you know, reptile. And I think you're right. You're seeing how God is communicating to his people, and anybody would hear it, that, you know, all these things that are represented by the bad side, sin, chaos, death, I'm going to swallow that up, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to overcome that. And we really said that too, that God's saying, you know, my snake is going to swallow up the snake of chaos and death, which is really what, you know, Pharaoh's representing at that point. And you think about the story in Numbers 21 there, and the people of this plague, and they're being bitten, they're dying, and what an odd thing seems like that God tells Moses to do.
It's one of those things that, like, out of context, it sounds like he's like, make an idol.
Oh, yeah, basically,
like,
yeah.
In any other religious context, we would assume that that's an idol.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I know if anybody listening has watched some of The Chosen, you know, the miniseries there, they depict that scene from Numbers 21 at the outset. And, you know, Joshua's in there with Moses in the scene anyways. And he's like, what are we doing? Like, because of that, you know, why are we making basically like a god like some other like Egypt would have? And well, God told me to do this. But then, you know, anybody who looks to it, and Jesus in the most famous chapter of all of Scripture, John 3, talking with Nicodemus there, he goes to that story and he refers to that snake, and it refers to what he's come to do, and he's going to go be put up on a tree, right? And anybody who looks to him in faith will be saved, won't perish, but have eternal life. And I think you're right. You go all the way through, and even one of the texts we're going to do in this animal series a little bit later is the dragon of Revelation. And there again is another snake, reptile, you know, monster, and yet God's going to have the victory, right? And eventually cast that mm-hmm. into the lake of fire, as it were. And so I think overall you see that thread, and that's what I love about this series and Scripture in general, but just seeing these images come up and how God, again, is going to turn things toward his plan. Even the Leviathan, I think you and I have talked about that before, this kind of monster, serpent of the deep, and there's some psalms that talk about, Psalm 104, I believe, talks about how God, you know, has him frolic and play, and, you know, just going back to the original yeah. intent. And I think you're right. You just see how God's power is going to win out, and it's a good reminder
and
for us.
And how he's even using these things that we associate as completely negative.
Right.
I'm like, that's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Again, like trying to put, if you try and put yourself in their seats, like God is taking this symbol of evil, this thing that is so awful, mm-hmm. and saying, no, I am better than that. I right. am stronger than that. I can even use that.
Right.
Like that's just, that's encouraging on yeah. so many different levels.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's the powerful testimony of Scripture all over. So.
Mm-hmm. And a big part of this whole story is the trust side of this. And we did talk a bit about this on Sunday, you know, Moses and Aaron having to trust that God is going to do something incredibly insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you said this at the outside of the episode when we were talking, but Moses grew up in Pharaoh's court.
Mm-hmm.
Moses grew up learning that Pharaoh was the son of Ra,
right.
that he was a deity.
Nobody bigger or badder in the world.
Right. Yeah. And so... yeah, Moses has had all these other experiences now, but he's coming up against this thing that was, you know, he's facing an institution that is insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
In his, you know, in his childhood, he learned that this was a God-level challenge.
Yeah.
And, man, the amount of trust that is required for that is crazy. And it's so, there's so much trust in that that it's almost... it almost makes it too easy because we're like, oh, yeah, of course, when we encounter these impossible things,
yeah.
we trust. Because, yeah. you know, and that's just the answer is you trust. Trust and obey, like the hymn says.
Right.
My question is, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, in this context, he was getting explicit directions from God saying, mm-hmm. hey, you go and do this thing. And that's, okay, great. He has this, he can trust. But we don't necessarily have God explicitly saying, hey, Austin, I'm going to, you know, send you over to China or to Australia or something mm-hmm. like in like that vocal way. So yeah. what does it mean to trust practically?
You know, one of the encouraging things about this story is that in the moment, it seems like, wow, look at Moses and Aaron. He's just throwing that staff down. He's before Pharaoh, the empire. There's a reason like Star Wars resonates because that image is always there. This is the empire, right? I mean, Pharaoh's kind of like the emperor. You know, he's got this power, it seems like, and mm-hmm. everything's behind him, and it's like, oh, we're the little rebellion.
And he's like, you know? The known world was Egypt at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we still marvel at the things they've been able to do thousands of years later. But, you know, when Moses started out, and he's, you know, God's coming to him in the burning bush, I think it's comforting to see that trust didn't come easy for him either. Yeah, mm-hmm. he had all kinds of excuses. Well, I'm not a very good speaker, God.
I stutter.
Yeah, really? And... so Moses, too, is kind of walking baby steps in this following. He goes along. Sometimes God even gets a little angry with him. And it's just the surprising things, too. Like, he takes a step, and him and Aaron go. They throw down the staff like they're told to, but they don't know the whole swallowing bit's coming. And, you know, they might think God even told them, like, Pharaoh's going to resist. But I bet in the moment they forgot that, too. It's like, do we still really got to keep coming back? I mean, is this really working? This guy's not changing his mind. And... so I'm sure, you know, there was different steps along the way. You can almost see, though, Moses' confidence building. Mm-hmm. The more he walks with the Lord, the more his confidence to where when the people get to the Red Sea, I think we're seeing the Moses that probably most of us are familiar with once they get out into the wilderness. And he's mm-hmm. very strong in his faith. Not that he doesn't have moments, but there, the people are understandably kind of losing their minds as the army's coming, the sea's in front. And he just basically tells them, just watch and see what God's going to do. And we're not told that God told him exactly what he was going to do there, but he just knows God says he's going to deliver. So he will see what's going to happen here. And so I think for you and me, maybe just understanding like, yeah, we don't just kind of go 100%. You know, we're always going along like the disciples too with Jesus. We don't always understand, but keep going there with the Lord. Keep looking to him. Keep walking with him. Sometimes, you know, we are going to have excuses like, oh, I don't think, really, me, God, you want me to be leader of this ministry, or you want me to help that person out? I didn't even pray today, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But just to kind of keep going and see how he shows up. I think that when we're open to his leading, that's trust, when we're really looking to him instead of just saying, I'm going to take matters into my own hands.
Yeah.
Moses might have said, it seems strange to say it, but yeah, I don't think that's going to do it, God. This whole staff to snake thing, like, I got something, you know, that I think will impress Pharaoh. I know this has worked before, so I'll do it. And again, that sounds funny because that's not the story.
Yeah.
But how often don't I do stuff like that where God's showing me like, hey, why don't you walk this way, maybe through scripture or just the prompting of the Spirit. And I think, yeah, you know, but this has usually worked for me pretty well. Or I know Austin did this and it went well. And you know, he's a pastor down the street. He did this. And God's saying, no, trust me. So fighting that urge to do it ourselves or our way.
Yeah.
And because it does sound, I'm sure it was sounded a little strange to even Moses and Aaron at that time, you know, to throw down the staff, and he did it with the people already. But, and the other piece, like your hand's going to be leprous. That was the other sign. So I think when we know it's the Lord speaking to us and leading us, whether we're reading the Bible or we're spending time reflecting, we feel that prompting. And as Christians, we should know. I mean, if I'm getting this prompting to do something that's harmful to you, like, eh, that's not God, right? Or hurtful or to myself or whatever. But we know when he's saying, yeah, I think you should help this person.
Yep.
That's God, right? This is the Spirit. You need to share my word with some. We know when it's God. And so to follow those leadings, especially when we're not sure, I think that's more and more what trust looks like. But I think the encouragement is that, that isn't easy.
Yeah. And that even, I mean, again, Moses is, he's really a figurehead of three religions.
Yeah.
And yet he really struggled with this trust. His like, he just didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Took those baby steps, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And developed eventually into the person that we know him as today.
Right. And God helped him along the way. I mean, Aaron, doesn't sound like God planned on Aaron being with him at the start, but he's like, all right, I'll send Aaron. He can speak well, and you know, and so God wants us to trust and walks along just like Jesus with his disciples. He's chiding them along the way, little faith, but he's still there and he's still working. He's teaching. Are you so dull? Well, let me explain it. You know, so God knows us. And I think the more we're just open and trying to walk with him, the more he grows us in that too.
For sure. So the next few weeks are going to look a little different because these next few weeks we're all going to be outside.
Yes.
Which, man, I can't wait. I love, if you guys were around for the start of this podcast, you heard me talk about last year, like, it is the craziest time of the year for me, but it is my favorite time of the year. I love doing the outdoor services. It does mean, though, that we will be, so just as a heads up, some business for all of you listening, we will not be doing deeper for the rest of the month of July. Because while we're doing outdoor services, we're also doing different vacations. And Dan and I just have enough weeks where one person is here and the other isn't.
Right.
That we're just going to start back. So you can pencil in your calendars for a new episode coming out on the 7th of August next. But so just for starters, no more deepers in July. We're sorry about that, but that's just the way that schedules work. So Dan, since we are not going to be able to meet and discuss and debrief those, can you just give us a little bit about where are we going while we're outside? What are we going to talk about?
Absolutely. So yeah, we're continuing with the animal story series, which is great when you're outdoors.
Perfect.
You know, we just were looking to this morning, there was herons out in the field right behind where our stage will be, and we saw some deer out there, and so maybe we'll get an animal encounter even while we're out there.
Immersive experience.
Yeah, we might, yeah. But this coming week, we're going to be in Matthew, the story where Peter has a question about the temple tax that the Jewish males were paying at the time. And Jesus has Peter go out and catch a fish that has some coins in its mouth or a coin in its mouth to pay that tax. Another really interesting story. And so we'll talk about that and what Jesus is getting at there. And then the following week, so that'll be the 21st, will be in Isaiah, in the Old Testament prophets. And this is Isaiah 11, this messianic prophecy. And part of this, the animals at peace, you know, the wolf and the bear and the lion and everything kind of being at peace. So we'll talk about this picture of the kingdom coming and how animals that are part of that picture and what that means for us. And then the 28th, that's a Sunday, I'll be off. Pastor Eric's going to preach on Jonah and the whale.
All right.
That story, which is well known, but it's still another fascinating text. So, yeah, really looking forward to the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. If you're with us in the evening, we're going to finish up Joseph this week and then going to have a one-off in the book of Obadiah.
Okay.
So if you've never heard a sermon on Obadiah, I've never preached one. Just 21 verses, shortest book in the Old Testament, but I'm really looking forward to it. So,
all right.
Yeah, it'll be the next couple of weeks in the evening, too.
Nice. Well, that's some good stuff to be looking forward to. So, Dan, thank you so much for coming and doing this with us again so consistently. Thank you all for listening and for joining with us. We will we'll have a good time away. We'll miss you, but we'll have a good time away. We hope you have a good time away, and we will see you next August.